ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಗೋಪಿಜನವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವಾರಧಾರಿ ಗೋಪಿಜನವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವಾರಧಾರಿ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರಾವನಚಾರಿ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರಾವನಚಾರಿ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರಾವನಚಾರಿ ವನಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಗೋಪಿಜನವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರಧಾರಿ ಗೋಪಿಜನವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರಧಾರಿ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರಾವನಚಾರಿ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರಾವನ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರಾವನಚಾರಿ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರಾವನ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ
ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ರೀಡಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಾಮ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟೋ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ಫಿಫ್ತ್ ಟೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ 32 ರೈಟ್ ಯಾ 32 ಏತತ್ ಸಂಸೂಚಿತಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಂ ಸ್ಥಾಪತ್ರಯಚಿಕಿತ್ಸಿತಂ ಯದ್ ಈಶ್ವರೇ ಭಗವತಿ ಕರ್ಮ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಣಿ ಭಾವಿತಂ ಏತತ್ ಸಂಸೂಚಿತಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಂ ಸ್ಥಾಪತ್ರಯಚಿಕಿತ್ಸಿತಂ ಯದೀಶ್ವರೇ ಭಗವತಿ கர்ம பிரம்மணி பாவிதம் ஏதத் சம்சூசிதம் பிரம்மம் ஸ்தாபத்ரய சிகித்சிதம் யதீஸ்வரே பகவதி கர்ம பிரம்மணி பாவிதம். ஏதத் சம்சூசிதம் பிரம்மம் ஸ்தாபத்ரய சிகித்சிதம் யதீஸ்வரே பகவதி கர்ம பிரம்மணி பாவிதம். ஏதத் சம்சூசிதம் பிரம்மம் ஸ்தாபத்ரய சிகித்சிதம் யதீஸ்வரே பகவதி கர்ம பிரம்மணி பாவிதம். ஏதத் சம்சூசிதம் பிரம்மம் ஸ்தாபத்ரய சிகித்சிதம் யதீஸ்வரே பகவதி கர்ம பிரம்மணி பாவிதம். மாதாஜி, எனிபடி? ஏதத் திஸ் மச் சம்சூசிதம் decided by the learned brahmam o brahmana vyas tapatraya three kinds of miseries chikitsitam remedial measures yat what ishware the supreme controller bhagavati unto the personality of Godhead, karma, one's prescribed activities, brahmani, unto the great, bhavitam, dedicated. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. O Brahman Vyasadev, it is decided by the learned that the best remedial measure for removing all troubles and miseries is to dedicate one's activities to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna. Purport. Shri Narad Muni personally experienced that the most feasible and practical way to open the path of salvation or get relief from all miseries of life is to hear submissively the transcendental activities of the Lord from the right bona fide sources. This is the only remedial process. The entire material existence is full of miseries. Foolish people have manufactured out of their tiny brains many remedial measures for removing the threefold miseries pertaining to the body and mind, pertaining to the natural disturbances, and in relation with other living beings. The whole world is struggling very hard to exist out of these miseries, but men do not know that without the sanction of the Lord, no plans or no remedial measure can actually bring about the desired peace and tranquility. The remedial measure to cure a patient by medical treatment is useless if it is not sanctioned by the Lord. To cross the river or the ocean by suitable boat is no remedial measure if it is not sanctioned by the Lord. We should know for certain that the Lord is the ultimate sanctioning officer, and we must therefore dedicate our attempts to the mercy of the Lord for ultimate success or to get rid of the obstacles on the path of success. The Lord is all-pervading, all-powerful, omniscient, and omnipotent. He is the ultimate sanctioning agent of all good or bad effects. We should therefore learn to dedicate our activities unto the mercy of the Lord and accept Him either as impersonal Brahman, localized Paramatma, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It does not matter what one is.
one must dedicate everything in the service of the Lord. If one is a learned scholar, scientist, philosopher, poet, etc., then he should employ his learning to establish the supremacy of the Lord. Try to study the energy of the Lord in every sphere of life. Do not decry him and try to become like him or take his position simply by fragmental accumulation of knowledge. If one is an administrator, statesman, warrior, politician, etc., then one should try to establish the Lord's supremacy in statesmanship. Fight for the cause of the Lord as Sri Arjuna did. In the beginning, Sri Arjuna, the great fighter, declined to fight. But when he was convinced by the Lord that the fighting was necessary, Sri Arjuna changed his decision and fought for his cause. Similarly, if one is a businessman, an industrialist, an agriculturist, etc., then one should spend his hard-earned money for the cause of the Lord. Think always that the money which is accumulated is the wealth of the Lord. Wealth is considered to be the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, and the Lord is Narayan, or husband of Lakshmi. Try to engage Lakshmi in the service of the Lord, Narayan, and be happy. That is the way to realize the Lord in every sphere of life. The best thing is, after all, to get relief from all the material activities and engage oneself completely in hearing the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. But in case of absence of such an opportunity, one should try to engage in service of the Lord. Everything for which one has specific attraction, and that is the way of peace and prosperity. The word samsuchitam in this stanza is also significant. One should not think for a moment that the realization of Narad was childish imagination only. It is not like that. It is so realized by the expert and erudite scholars. And that is the real import of the word samsuchitam.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Sva Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namo Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare
Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yat Gopatam Aham Vande Shri Guru Dinatayam.
Hare Krishna. So like to offer my humble respects unto all wonderful Vaishnavas assembled here, either in presence or electronically. So yesterday in the class, Bhagavatam class, Yuvada Prabhu mentioned a very pertinent point, and many of you must have also grasped it, that currently the month that is going on is the month of Shravan. And in the month of Shravan, the process of Shravan is given a lot of importance. It's very unfortunate that in modern day, one of the major sources of acquiring knowledge or learning about our own Sanskriti or culture becomes the Bollywood industry or the television serials, etc. like that. And all of you must have heard this probably prior to your lives of becoming devotees. You know, the month of Shravan is in Hindi called as Savan. And you know, the Savan ka Mahina, you know, is all the time compared to the lusty desires of men and women. Either the people talk of the rain coming in the month of Shravan, you know, they create a contrast that actually it's a rain falling, but that rain is increasing the fire of lust. And for those for whom this lust is frustrated, they compare those same rains to the tears of, you know, separation coming from the eyes of losing a beloved. That's all about Savan that movie industry talks about. Interestingly, the Vedic paradigm doesn't treat Shravan like that. Did you know how this month is even called as Shravan? Or did you even ask the question that why in our culture only this month should be called as Shravan and not the earlier month, like in the Julian calendar or the Roman calendar that is very popular? Which month has to be first? Which month has to be second? It was all decided by various kings. Like why January has to be the first month of the year? I think somewhere in 350 or 400 BC, 350 or 400 AD, this decision was taken that actually January has to be the first month of the year. Before that, March was the first month of the year. Because one particular king came and he thought that no, actually Mars is the god of war. So we cannot, and they said that okay, the month of March is named after the god of war, which is Mars, which is even in our astrology, we know Mangal is the warrior planet. But they said no, so let's not start with the war. Let's start with Janus, is another god who is the god of all auspicious beginnings. Just like we have Lord Ganesha, who is the lord of all good beginnings. So they have Lord Janus. So let's put Janus. So, and then there was discussion, okay, why August should be the 8th month and July should be the 7th month? Can we shift it here and there? And you know, all these discussions. What is the logic behind it? In the Vedic calendar, the good news is that there is a logic for everything. And this month, all of you know there are nakshatras. So the months are named after nakshatras. So why this month is called as Shravan? It's because the Purnima of a particular month, if the nakshatra on the Purnima of that particular month is the Shravan nakshatra, then the month becomes Shravan. If the Purnima of a particular month is Chitra nakshatra, then that month is called Chaitra. If the Purnima is Jyeshtha nakshatra, then the month is Jyeshtha. Like that. So now is Shukla Trayodashi. Tomorrow is Chaturdashi. So by the time the Chaturdashi ends, Purnima starts. And tomorrow is Shravan nakshatra. Today is Uttarashad. So it's a fact. So because Shravan nakshatra is coming on Purnima, or close to Purnima, that's why this month is Shravan. Now why this Shravan nakshatra, why should we even be talking about it right now? It's a small anecdote. I was referring to a book. It is written by a famous astrologer and he talks about nakshatra. And something very nice I read in it. So he explained that he was that time staying in Borivali and one client or one lady came to him and she came with her daughter. And this daughter was deaf and dumb from childhood. So obviously she was basically deaf and because of that she was dumb. She was not able to speak. Now, she came to this astrologer and by the time she came to him, they had tried various doctors from various hospitals across India. But none got any success in terms of giving her the ability to hear. So, ultimately, you know, in the desperation, she came to this astrologer and said, please, can you find out something? So, the astrologer looked at the chart And the first thing that he did is that he built the Prashna Kundali. That means sometimes the time at which the question is asked is considered very important. So the time when the question was asked, the Shravan Nakshatra had already started. And the question was about her ability to hear. So the astrologer said that even before seeing the chart, I told her that because you are asking this question on Shravan Nakshatra, definitely she will be able to hear. He said, I had that confidence. Now, he had not even seen the chart. So then he opened it and then he started seeing the horoscope. And he said that 7 years look to be very unfavorable for this girl. But after 7 years, she will be able to hear. Because this particular time that you are asking, Shravan Nakshatra is already very active. Now, this completely sounds like I don't believe it. Of course, the mother, because, the mothers always have love for their children, however the children may be. That's the quality of mother. Sometimes the women are, in our culture, I mean, this has nothing to do with the lecture, but I just thought that in my mind, that sometimes women are, criticized that they get overwhelmed by the emotions and they keep the rational thinking aside. But that's what exactly is required for being a mother. Because a mother cannot look at a child from a rational point of view. Even just last Friday only, I think I was hearing the class of Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was saying that the great devotees of the Lord, they don't want to become just the son and daughters of the Lord. Because the son and daughters always keep on taking service from the parents. So the great devotees always want to become the parent of the Lord. So when you become a parent, then you are irrationally giving service to the child. Irrationally. A mother cannot think that, this child when he grows up, he will throw me out of the house, he will not take care of me, so why should I waste my time in taking care of this child? A mother cannot think like this, and even after the child does this activity, still she keeps on loving the child. So that is the quality. So this mother also, as soon as she heard it, she just had tears of eyes flowing. She did not apply her rational brain that how, Shravan Nakshatra is there, so... Is there any correlation? She didn't even ask this question. So she said, okay, fine. After 7 years, she again went to one doctor. And the doctor took the case. And the doctor said that definitely nothing can be done about this child. But let me take it as a challenge. Now what inspired him? Krishna knows. Said, let him take it as a challenge. And as a challenge, he took that case, operated on the child. Her ears actually got operated and they started working. She started able to hear 65% of the sound. And within a period of 1 or 2 years, she started talking also. This is the power of taking consultation on the occasion of Shravan Nakshatra. What I'm trying to say is, look at what the Bollywood is projecting in front of you in terms of the Savan, and look at what is the power that this Nakshatra already has. It symbolizes the ability to hear. If devotees are able to focus or increase their Shravanam or start their Shravanam either in the month of Shravan or during the Shravan Nakshatra, how much benefit they will get, right? We are also, actually in one sense, we are also deaf and dumb. There is this beautiful shloka in Brahma Samhita, right? Vedeshu durlabham adurlabham atma bhaktav. And in initial days of Krishna consciousness, there was this, often in the library, one book would always come, that was the Brahma Samhita book. And my hand would never take to feel like taking that book because the commentary was given by Bhaktisiddhanta Swami Thakur. And I had heard when one lecture, I think Gaurang Prabhu had mentioned once, that Prabhupada's book you can read once and understand. But Saraswati Thakur's book, you read once, twice, thrice, four times, then you'll understand it. So I just wanted to once explore what is he talking about. So I took that book and the verse was this only, Vedeshu Durlabham Adurlabham Atma Bhakto. And in that purport, believe me, at least after every line I was opening a dictionary and find out what he's trying to say. And Saraswati Thakur says that what is the meaning of Atma Bhakto? Adurlabham Atma Bhakto. That means Krishna is saying that amongst Vedic literatures, I am not to be found. That means when you open the Vedic literature, you are like deaf and dumb. Because Vedic literature talking about Krishna. But we are deaf, we are not able to hear it. So Saraswati Thakur says, Atma Bhakto means one who is a devotee of one spiritual master. One who has accepted spiritual master and one who is submissively hearing from, that is the meaning of Atma Bhakto. So he says that when the same words of the scriptures will not make any sense to you, but if you are serving your spiritual master, then they start talking. Your deafness actually goes away. Right? So, Jnananjana Shalakaya. So, spiritual master not only removes the ignorance from the eyes, he also removes the ignorance from the ears. Because unless there is spiritual master, because what is the concept of the Brahman thread? It is mentioned that one who wears the Brahman thread is allowed to read scriptures. The meaning is not that one who has ability to purchase 25 paisa Brahman thread, he can read. No, Brahman thread means one who accepted spiritual master. So if he has accepted spiritual master, then he can study scriptures, because then there is no question of misinterpretation. Because what the scriptures will teach, they will talk to you. Because you are serving. Because serving, that's what is Atma Bhaktav all about. Atma Bhaktav means, the spiritual master acts like a transmitter. It's like, the radio frequency which is transmitting, you cannot hear the radio frequency. But when you tune it perfectly, right, and you decode it, then again you are able to hear the sound, you are able to make sound out of it. The scriptures are something like that. They are all radio frequency. Sometimes you may hear, sometimes you may misinterpret. But when you have the mercy of spiritual master, your deafness will go away. That is the process of Shravan. And this is the importance of Shravan Nakshatra. And there is one more importance. I was just reading this purport. In fact, the whole series of shlokas. So this is another angle that I also wanted to bring out. And please correct me if I'm wrong. So this entire series of shlokas is glorifying the process of hearing. That what is Shravanam? Yesterday also we heard about hearing. Narad Muni is actually narrating his own experiences to Vyasadev. And this suddenly, out of nowhere, this shloka, now I will read the translation. So it says, O Brahman Vyasadev, it is decided by the learned that the best remedial measure for removing all the troubles and miseries is to dedicate one's life to the service of the Supreme Lord. Now this has nothing to do about hearing. So all the while, the glorification about Shravan, so hearing from the Bhakti Vedantas, serving the Bhakti Vedantas. And suddenly here, it is talked about, Narad Muni is talking about dedicating one's activities to service of the Supreme Lord. Now interestingly, the first line of the purport that Prabhupada writes, so when you read this line, you may be thinking that, oh, now actually Prabhupada may talk about how to engage our resources in the service of the Lord. Right? So actually, just to brief. So we always say that, okay, for a grahastha, or for anyone who is engaging in the service of the Lord, what does it actually mean? So, the scriptures talk about four types of shuddhis. So, there is, first is tana shuddhi, mana shuddhi, dhana shuddhi, and anna shuddhi. That's what. So, engaging in service of the Lord means you do these four types of shuddhis. Every grahastha has to do it. So, tana shuddhi means one has to take bath and keep the body clean. Mana shuddhi, that comes by chanting of the holy names, by performing sacrifices. Dhana shuddhi, that comes by doing charity. And then anna shuddhi, that is by offering the food to Supreme Personality of God and partaking the prasad. And I was thinking that probably Prabhupada will talk something about that in this purport. But the first thing Prabhupada talks about here in the purport, and I read it. Sri Narad Muni personally experienced that the most feasible and practical way to open the path of salvation or to get relief from all miseries of life is to hear submissively the transcendental activities of the Lord from the right bona fide sources. So, the first and only Prabhupada talks about hearing. The verse talks about doing all the activities for the pleasure of Supreme Lord. And in purport, the first line Prabhupada talks about hearing. So if you see all the shuddhi activities that we do, or even all the activities with japa, like japa or deity worship or charity, these are all the activities. And the activities, they are like, the famous example of whenever we come in ISKCON, the famous example is given of the car and the driver. So the activities are like the car. They perform very well. But the activity itself is not sufficient for execution. For execution, what you need is inspiration. And the inspiration is the fuel. Right? And the inspiration comes by hearing from the bona fide spiritual master. If the inspiration is not there, then all the activities in the life of a grahastha, which are worshipping the deity at home, or offering the food, or the japa, or the dhanashuddhi, or charity, whatever you take, it will simply become a burden after some point of time. Because the inspiration is gone. So, a grahastha life is something which is not about one who is doing his best to perform these four activities. But a grahastha life is somebody who is doing his best to somehow take out some time and hear submissively. Because that is the inspiration part. If the hearing is ignored for some point of time, and somebody may ask the question, okay, how frequently should I hear? That may depend from person to person. But just like we eat every day, and for every day's nourishment we require food, similarly, living in this material world, you need inspiration. And that inspiration comes from the process of Shravanam. So therefore, it is extremely important that whatever type of profession you may have, whatever type of engagement you have, take out some time and hear submissively. Luckily, in the today's world of technology, hearing is not at all a challenge. You can just, if you just Google for Gaurang Prabhu, all the list of his lectures will come. You know, to go for Adana Swami, you know, 3-4 videos will come. Cut. You just put on any video. And how does it matter? But even a few minutes of hearing will give you the necessary inspiration by which we can continue the life. So most important part in grahastha, in fact, Srila Prabhupada says many times that one should arrange our activities in such a way that you are able to hear about Lord Krishna. And in the purport you see that even in the professional stage, one can just leave everything, but still hearing about Supreme Personality of Godhead will remain the most important activity. So that Shravan is very important. Now, sometimes a person may say, you know, I really struggle a lot. I really try a lot, but I am not able to do the process of Shravan. I am not able to do it. Or somebody may say that, you know, I am not very Brahminical. I don't understand the purport so well. For me, action, activity has more importance. So, Prabhupada, in the section of Gajendra, there is very nice description about this entire process. So, Srila Prabhupada very nicely describes that in the story of Gajendra, how the crocodile was in the water and Gajendra, the elephant, he is not the animal of the water. So, as the crocodile was trying to devour the elephant, the crocodile was becoming stronger and stronger and the elephant was losing its capacity more and more. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada makes a very powerful statement. And I will just read out that statement to you. It's such a nice statement. And of course Prabhupada says that therefore one should, you know, try to understand, one should remain in the situation which is most favorable. But the way Prabhupada writes it is very nice. And I'll just read out the statement. Prabhupada says, all devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement are like soldiers. And then he says that the soldiers in this Krishna consciousness movement must always possess physical strength, enthusiasm, and sensual power. This is Prabhupada directly writing in the purport. He says, we must have strength, enthusiasm, and power. And then he says, to keep themselves fit, they must place themselves in the normal condition of life. This Prabhupada says like this. So devotee must put himself or herself in normal condition of life. So what is normal condition of life? And then Prabhupada says, the normal condition of life actually means the varnashram system. So now we come to this point that a grahastha may say that, you know, I am not very Brahminical person, or I am not very somebody who is keen to hear something, or I don't have any inclination for that. But what is most important to know, I actually was hearing one class of His Grace Govind Prabhu, and he told a very nice point in that course. So he said that sometimes, you know, devotees feel, or sometimes people feel, that the fighting is the sole propriety of a kshatriya. A kshatriya actually fights. You know, Brahmana, Vaishya, they don't fight. A Shudra doesn't fight. In fact, the scriptures say that if somebody is offering the Lord and if you are a Shudra, you should simply go get up and go away. Right? But it is not like that. Govind Prabhu was mentioning that actually in Varnashram Dharma, every Varna is a fighter. But the means of fighting is different. So he said, a Brahman is one who fights against Ajnana. A Kshatriya is one who fights against Anyaya. A Vaishya is one who fights against Akala. And a Shudra is one who fights against Alasya. All four are actually fighters. In fact, and therefore, the whole philosophy of non-violence, in one sense, is actually bogus. There is nothing like non-violence in this world. I remember a few earlier lectures of Radhanath Swami Maharaj, and he had mentioned very clearly, he said, in this world, every atom is fighting with another atom. If you look under the electron microscope, you will see electrons fighting with each other. So there is no question of non-violence, right? There is violence, but the nature of the violence differs, right? A Brahmana has to attack through the words, to destroy Ajnan. He has to fight. Everyone is a fighter. A Kshatriya has to fight against Anyaya. A Vaishya has to fight against Akal. That means whenever there is Akal, whenever there is drought, then it's Vaishya whose role is the most important. We hear the scriptures like Ramayana. And all of you know in Ramayana, this wonderful story of how this great sage was called to bring the rains in the kingdom. What was his name? Rishyashringa. Right? He was invited. So that drought actually continued for 12 years. And it is mentioned that the Praja of Ayodhya did not realize that there is drought for 12 years. I mean, in today's scenario, if there is no water in the house by BMC for 12 hours, it becomes a chaos. And the phone call goes, Twitter messages go to municipal corporator and everything. In 12 hours, if there is no water, it creates a chaos. And here, 12 years, the rain did not come for 12 years, the Praja did not realize there is drought going on. Just imagine. How much the Vaishyas must have been empowered to protect. Just today I was hearing this class of Srila Prabhupada, just few minutes ago. And Prabhupada was saying, it's unfortunate that sometimes the government tells the Vaishyas that please do not produce because we want to maintain the prices in the market. So Prabhupada says, why not to produce? If earth is producing, aapko kya problem hai? You know, what is your problem? Let the earth produce. Earth produce so much of grain, we can feed the entire world. You know, and then these people only, they will keep on showing, oh, Somalia, Ethiopia, all these countries, oh, people are suffering, there is no food to eat. You know, I was recently listening to one talk, and it showed about one particular story. So there was one small boy in one such drought-struck country in Africa. And one group of photographers, they actually visited this particular country. And they were thinking that, oh, let me take a very good photograph. So they were the photographs from probably some top magazine like National Geographic or something. And this photograph, finally this man, he found a photograph. In that photograph, there was a small child searching for a food, completely emaciated, about to die, looking for some food. And there was a vulture sitting next to that boy, waiting for this boy to die. And this man took the photograph. And that photograph came in the National Geographic. It actually became famous. It became a hit. This man overnight became a millionaire photographer. After 6 months, he got a phone call. And he said, that person on the other side said that, you know, am I talking to this photographer? He said, yeah, I am the same photographer. He said, I was searching for 6 months to get your phone number. He said, somehow I have found it. He said, I have a deep question in my heart. When I saw this photograph, I got the question in my heart. I somehow never asked you this question. Now I am asking you this question. He said, what is the question? He said, you took the photograph of that child. He said, did you give the child any food after that? Simple question was asked.
And the photographer said, no, I mean, I had gone there for a photograph. So I took the snap. I felt sorry for the child. I prayed for him. But then I left the place. And the person became silent. And he said, how many vultures were there, sir, when you took the photograph? He said, yeah, you have seen the photograph. There was one vulture. The voice said, no, sir. There were two vultures. One, that vulture waiting for that child to die. And another vulture waiting for that opportunity to earn money. That was you. This person was shocked. And after 1 month or so, this person committed suicide. He could not live with this fact. Yeah. That is the problem with today's society. It's not that earth is not able to give you food. It's not that earth is not sufficiently producing the grains. Even in India, you know, there was this, I have seen that you see photographs and small movies. Oh, the women of these villages have to walk 100 miles. Oh, not 100 miles, that's too much. But need to walk 3 miles, 4 miles to take the water from the, and then they will take photographs like this. But not a single journalist will actually open the door of the car and say, mother, can you please sit in the car? I will drop you to your village. What's the problem? Do it. No. Nobody does that. Right? You always want someone else to do it. Why? Because of this rubbish philosophy of non-violence, which is right from the beginning so much embedded in the minds. That I am supposed to be, take no action. Right? This philosophy is actually propagated by the agents of Kali and the agents of Mayadevi. Because they don't want you to be a fighter. Because everyone actually by nature a fighter, whichever varna, whichever ashram the person belongs to, is actually supposed to be a fighter. Right? But the philosophy is, okay, you don't be the fighter. Therefore, even great saintly persons, you know, they always say that, you know, Tukaram Maharaj, person like Tukaram Maharaj, he says, Ami Vishnu Das. Ami Mena Unahi Mau and Vajra Unahi Kathor. He says, we are like Vishnu Das, we are softer than the wax, but we are harder than the thunderbolt. So there is no question of, so the concept of this fighting spirit is always there and always there. But somehow the agents of Kali Yuga will ensure that thing is completely killed. And now you see how many things are happening because of that. Sorry, I'm just digressing a bit, but it's important. And it's happening because there is no hearing, there is no Shravanam. Because we don't understand the real spirit of non-violence. There is another small talk that I was listening. And all of you know what's happening in the world today. You know, the Afghan nation has been taken over by the terrorists. And can you believe it? There are newspapers, there are journalists who are talking constantly in news shows and in what will happen to India now. Oh, these terrorists will come on the border. They will come into the cities. They will start killing people. Are you, why are you talking about fearing? Why don't you talk about fighting? Why don't you talk about what is the point of spreading this ignorance? So I was listening to one small this, and that person actually made a very nice point, and I just want to share that. How this particular thing actually propagates, right? So the problem is, if you are not listening to the scriptures, if there is no shravan of the scriptures going on, there is so much of other shravan that you will do, and that shravan will only cause confusion and fear in the minds of people, right? So there was this one interview. This interview came in 2021. And this interview was of a dictator. And his name was Karimov. So this Karimov was a dictator of Uzbekistan. You heard of this country? I remember many years back, 6-7 years back, there were a few devotees who came to our temple from Uzbekistan. Some three, four men and 2-3 women. And I had asked them that, okay, before you came to Krishna consciousness, which religion did you belong to? We say we are all from Islam. So we are from Islamic religion. They are devotees. And there are so many devotees in Uzbekistan now. So, this man, who is the dictator of Uzbekistan. So, Uzbekistan shares the border with Afghanistan, by the way. It's one of the countries which shares the border. So, this person was asked that, you know,
my dear sir, you are actually sharing a border with one terrorist nation. Don't you feel that one day your nation can be completely overtaken by these terrorists? Or one day, of course, it's not a terrorist nation as such, but there were many terrorists that time in that country. So don't you feel that, because actually Afghan originally is the kingdom of Shakuni, basically. He's from the Kandahar. So Gandhar, Gandhari, Gandhar, the word Gandhar was later on, it became Kandahar. So that's the place of Gandhari, one of the great, so it's not a, we cannot call it a terrorist nation as such. And there is one, it appears there is one Shaktipeet even there. One very old Durga temple is there. And anyway, so that's a separate thing. So so this Karima was asked, don't you have this fear that one day this nation will just take over and they will say, he says, yeah, he said that there are a lot of sources in and around my country which can cause terrorists or which can cause terrorism. But he said, but the land of my nation is not fertile for terrorism. So the interviewer was completely confused. So she asked, what do you mean by the land was not fertile for terrorism? He said, because I don't have intellectuals in my country. He said, I don't have intellectuals in my country. Correct? So if you are not Shravan, if you are not hearing from the right intellectuals, you will be hearing from the intellectuals of today's world. And what is the job of these intellectuals? You know, how do these terrorists even exist, and how do they even succeed? Because each terrorist know that there are hundreds of intellectuals sitting there to support me if I am caught. That's why they have the courage. And you may be thinking that I am just talking rubbish and I am not talking sense. Something that happened in our own country, I just want to bring out. And just try to understand to what extent the ignorance can be spread if the process of Shravan is not sufficiently encouraged. Because then people talk about intellectuals. So something that happened very close to our own temple. So on 26th November 2008, a terrorist attack took place in Mumbai city. And one terrorist was caught red hand right here. This terrorist had just killed numerous people in VT station, in CST that time. And then he sat in the car and he was caught right here, where the Sukhsagar Junction Road. Not a call's distance from the temple. Most of you may already remember that night. Happened very close by. This person was then, and all of you know the name of the person also. I don't have to say it. He was arrested and he was kept in the prison. Right? And then there was a trial going on that. Now, what was the whole trial all about? The trial was all about should be that person hanged to death or not. So just imagine. There is this entire, so now you can actually appreciate, and we don't speak it very openly. Prabhupada said that democracy means demons crazy. And sometimes you feel, how can Prabhupada say like this? This is the fact. So you can bring out a gun, right? You can bring out a gun, you can kill innocent people. That's all fine. Right? The policeman who actually caught this terrorist red-handed, that video is available. And I would encourage sometimes you go and actually see it. The name of the policeman was Tukaram Ongale. And his memorial is there actually. If you pass that road, Tukaram Ongale's memorial is right here. That one policeman who did not care about his family, his own family, who did not care about his own life, a person who is having machine gun in his hand, this policeman opens the door and jumps on that person. And you will see in the video, this particular terrorist actually shot at him, and from the back of this policeman's body, you will see the bullets coming out. That's what that person goes through. That is also all right. Killing of innocent people is all right. Killing of somebody who is wearing uniform and who is giving his life for the nation, brutally killing that person is also all right. But a person who does this, he should not be given phasi. Killing of that person is not all right. This is the way the entire system works. And this is what it proliferates. Why? Because there is no clarity. So when Ramchandra was asked by Vishwamitra Muni, that here is Trataka, kill her. Lord Ram's arrow also was, he was hesitating to kill. He was not shooting his arrow. So Vishwamitra Muni understood why he is hesitating, because she is a woman and woman cannot be killed. Vishwamitra said, forget about it. She is disturbing yajna, she is disturbing dharma, right? She is killing the sages. She has to be destroyed. Then Ramchandra shot an arrow. Finished. Krishna also, you know, the first demon that he killed was Putana. Putana, Krishna closed his eyes. He didn't want to kill her. But then nevertheless, he did his job. If you are not listening to this Ramayana, if you are not listening to this, then that's what you will think about. Somebody who has killed innocent people, hundreds of them, ruthlessly, killed somebody in such a ruthless way, brutal way, oh, that person should not be hanged if his fault. And the case was being fought. And the person who was fighting this case from the side of the Indian government, a very famous public prosecutor, his name is Mr. Ujjwal Nikam, you must have heard this name. He was actually visiting our office last year, and he told his story personally. It's directly coming from him. And this is how the system works. So, it was a day of Raksha Bandhan. So, Raksha Bandhan is just coming. So, whenever we think of Raksha Bandhan, somehow that story comes to my mind. So, it was Raksha Bandhan. And on the day of Raksha Bandhan, this Ujjwal Nikam was supposed to speak to this terrorist and was take his statement. So he went. So he was wearing the Rakhi in his hand. So all of you know that we wear, right? The brothers wear. So he was probably had visited his sister in the morning who tied that Rakhi to him. So he spoke. Now as Mr. Ujjwal Nikam is talking to the terrorist, there were cameras. You know, silently understanding, grasping what is happening between two of them. Because it was supposed to be a confidential talk. Now, Ujjwal Nikam himself told us this. He said that he asked me, what is this, sir, that you are tying in your hand? Terrorist asked. So he said, no, it's actually my sister's. No, she has put this Raksha Bandhan. And you know, in India, we have this particular festival. We go to our sister, she ties the Rakhi. And as soon as he said it, some tears came in the eyes of this terrorist. Right? And then the further conversation between the terrorist and Nandus took place. That tear was captured by this camera. And now here, everywhere, outside, it became a hit news all across the channels. That, oh, Mr. So-and-so, terrorist, now he's, you know, already repenting. He's already shedding tears. He's sorry for his deed. Should he actually be really hanged or not? And all these intellectuals, you know, our country is a fertile ground. Which Kazakhstan is not, sorry, Uzbekistan is not. But our country is huge. There are just lots of them. So all talking about it, just everyone. So when all the innocent people like you and me here, we feel, why? Because we have been impregnated with this philosophy of non-violence from our childhood. So we all think, oh, poor fellow. He's actually feeling sorry. So Tukaram Ongole's daughter and son will not feel like this. Right? Those who left the body and who may be suffering, they may have lost their both parents on the session, they will not feel like this. But you and me feel, oh, and luckily we are in majority. And that's what is the benefit. So they all feel like this. So after evening, the whole conversation took place almost for a day. And evening when Ujjwal Nikam came out, he saw what's happening on all the channels. And now this was like the first-to-first talk. So the TV reporter came and he put the mic in front of him and said, dear Mr. Nikam, we saw that you spoke about Raksha Bandhan something, you indicated something about Rakhi, and there were tears in the eyes of him. What do you feel? So he understood from what point that whole... So he said that actually just now when I came out, the terrorist was asking me if we can provide to him some non-vegetarian biryani as a supplement for him, because he's feeling very hungry. And as soon as he spoke like that, all the TV channels said, how can he say like this? He's a criminal. He's in the jail. He's supposed to be eating the food which is provided by jail. How he's demanding non-vegetarian food and he's demanding, immediately the impression changed. So Ujjwal Nikam said that I will not say whether he actually asked me about the biryani or not, but I had to speak this. He had to speak this to change the impressions of the people, because the whole impression of the entire India had become, okay, please release this person. This is the power of the intellectuals. That power exists because there is no proper Shravanam and not proper references from our scriptures to understand how to deal with crime. If you have read Srimad Bhagavatam, something which I really like, there is a statement in the early parts of Bhagavatam where Suta Goswami says that Kali was found, and Kali was actually troubling a cow, and he was actually beating a cow. As soon as Shaunakadi and all the rishis hear this, they stop Suta Goswami. They say, wait. They stop here. Said, what did Parikshit Maharaj do when he saw this happening? He said, no. Then Parikshit Maharaj then released, and then he said, no, but why did you not punish him? Why did you not kill him? If he was troubling the bull, why was he not immediately executed? Right? So that is very important. That healthy fear of scriptures, healthy fear of rules is very important. Otherwise, the world will simply be a big chaos. So much the process of Shravanam is important. So much the process of hearing is important. Unless we hear from the scriptures, we will not understand what is ordained by the Supreme Lord. What is the Nyaya? What is the justice that is ordained by the Supreme Lord? For that, the process of Shravanam is very important. And that is very important thing that we learn from the scripture. So everyone is a fighter. In this, everyone is a fighter. And Srila Prabhupada says, in that purport, right, that a devotee, he may not be necessarily a sannyasi, Prabhupada says a devotee should not stop fighting. A devotee should not stop fighting. Therefore, if you are a grahastha, if you are a devotee and you feel that, oh, I don't have sufficient taste for hearing, I don't have sufficient, the question is, are you actually in the spirit of fighting? Because the nature of this Kali Yuga will not provide you facilities to hear submissively. That is not possible. But if you are a grahastha, if you are a devotee, then you should not stop fighting. Your desire to fight will be shown to Krishna by the way you try to arrange the day in such a way that I can at least hear for some time, at least for 5 minutes. That is the spirit of fighting that a grahastha can show. Fighting means somehow fight with the situation in such a way that you get to hear some time, at least for 5 minutes, about Lord Krishna. That fighting spirit is so pleasing to the Supreme Lord, that Lord Brahma, in Srimad Bhagavatam, he has this famous verse. He says, Jnane prayas udapasya namanta eva, jivanti shanmukhritam bhavadiya vartam, sthane sthita shrutigatam, tanuvan manobhir, prayeshaye ajita jito apitais trilokyam. So it's a very powerful verse. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quoted this verse practically everywhere. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was discussing with Ramananda Rai, right? Ramananda Rai, when I think this was the fourth proposal that came from Ramananda Rai, that what is really the goal of life. And Ramananda Rai said, this is important, that a grahastha tries to hear the glories of the Supreme Lord. A living entity tries to hear the glories of the Supreme Lord. And Prabhupada says, why is this process of hearing so important? Because the process of hearing is the only process because of which one can revive the lost love for the Supreme Lord Krishna. That is ultimately the ultimate goal of life, is to revive the love. It's there already in the heart. It doesn't have to be artificially taken, but for reviving it. And then there are innumerable examples in the scriptures. The people who just heard about the Supreme Lord and then developed love for it. Right? So when we hear about scriptures, when we dedicate our life for the process of hearing, right, that time these benefits will come. First, all the doubts in the minds are destroyed. Doubts created by the intellectuals are completely destroyed. Because now you are bestowed with the divine intelligence. Probably that's why only Lord Krishna addressed Bhagavad Gita as Buddhi Yoga. Because if you are practicing Buddhi Yoga, then you will not be confused by the intellectuals. Because you are Buddhi Yoga. Your Buddhi is connected to the Supreme Lord. Right? So that is very important. So your doubts are destroyed. And the second and the most important thing, you can show to Krishna through that process that, yes, Krishna, I am actually fighting. I am willing to fight. And through that process, what happens is you can conquer over one who cannot be conquered. In other words, you develop love for Lord Krishna in your hearts. Because if there is love for Krishna, only then Krishna can be conquered. There is no other way that of conquering Lord Krishna. So the love is developed in the heart. So this is the glory of Shravana process. And this is what I feel was Prabhupada trying to highlight in this purport for all of us. Hare Krishna. Ranthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So we have any questions we can take, or otherwise we can end. Thank you so much. Hari Bol.